Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
We need to stand united, undivided, we shall never fall. Remember all, we need to trust in and then forever call on our brothers and our sisters. And are you and I aware? You and I both know that we can rely on it. The time is prime.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So a study put out by the Institute for Southern Studies points out that the president's proposal on fixing this overtime situation by saying that a nice little shiny badge on the shirt with a nice little title it does not put you in the management class at $23,660. We should be looking at a little bit more. You shouldn't get the shiny badge and work 100 hours a week and still live in poverty. Seems to be fairly simplistic. But according to the Institute for Southern Studies, they're saying that the South would benefit more than any region in the country because of this fix, and that folks in the 25 to 34 range, about 1 in 20 workers in that range would benefit from an increase in the overtime level up to, and I think the number that they threw out was 50,444. So again, the South, again, more largesse, if you will, from Obama policies. Kind of interesting. They're the ones who seem to be against it. Here to talk a little bit about this fix, this idea, I've asked Ross Eisenbray. He is the vice president over at the Economic Policy Institute. They've got a great report out. You can check out at thericksmithshow.com. Just click on Ross's name. Take you right there. Ross, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick.
So I look at this, and my first thought is one, it's about time, and two, I've always found it curious that I could be management and still live in poverty.
Well, that's true. The notion that it's not just management, the term is executive, that you could be an executive, because that's who's exempt, executives, administrators, and professionals. And, yeah, for a family of four, the poverty line is less than this cutoff.
So explain how this is going to happen. I understand the president, he signed that the Department of Labor is going to enforce this new level. Explain how this is all going to work out.
Okay. Well, it's only a proposed rule at this stage. The department is asking for comments right now, and they will accept them for 60 days and take them into account in their rulemaking. They'll accept comments even after that, but they don't have to legally don't have to consider them in the rulemaking. And then the final rule will probably not be issued until early next year. So this is not something happening immediately.
So if you're the person,
we'll have time to get used to the idea.
Right. So if you're the person who's working at my local McDonald's with the shiny gold name tag, working for $23,600 a year, you've been anointed management, no overtime for you. This would be a good time maybe to comment on this and say, hey, you know, I'm working all these hours and I'm still living in poverty, asking for food stamps.
Yes. Absolutely. And our website has something called at www.fixovertime.org. We can lead you to where you can file comments with the federal government on this. But I think it's important that people understand that salaried workers are now, even now, entitled to overtime pay, depending on what their duties are. So there are some people who make less than $23,660, they're automatically entitled to overtime, no matter what they do and no matter what their job is called. Above that level, you might still be entitled to overtime, but most people don't know that if you're paid a salary and you're, let's say, a bookkeeper or a paralegal or a lab tech, you are in all likelihood entitled to overtime pay, time and a half for every hour you work beyond 40.
Yeah, but isn't this, Ross, isn't this really the breakdown of, in my view, of unions in this country? Because in all of my working years, sure, there have been times where I've done some managerial tasks, but nobody ever said, you're the boss now, no overtime for you. Isn't this really kind of just a breakdown of the workplace?
Well, it is a breakdown of labor standards. It used to be that 60% of workers in the 70s when I came into the workforce, 60% of workers were guaranteed overtime pay of salaried workers. All hourly workers are pretty much guaranteed overtime pay by the federal government. But I'm talking about salaried workers, people who work in an office and at an insurance company or a bank. Almost all those people were entitled to overtime pay in the past, and the rules have just sort of eroded over the years, and employers have, there's been so little enforcement, and as you say, unions have gotten weaker, so they're not helping people know their rights and enforce them. We've gotten to the point where most people think that a salaried worker, that's the end of the story. You're not entitled to overtime pay, and that's not the case. Even now, even before this very positive rule, which adds a new bright line that says if you make less than $50,440, you are entitled to overtime pay. Your employer has to give it to you.
And it will be, as I understand, indexed for inflation so that it doesn't become eroded by inflation then.
That's right. Either by, it'll be adjusted by wages each year. As wages rise in the economy, it will go up, or the CPI, they haven't decided which.
So now you said the over 60% of the workforce, you know, the workforce in 1975 was eligible for overtime of, you know, accountants and folks like that. What is it down to now? Where are we now?
We're down to 8% now. 8% of workers. It's about 3.5 million people earn so little in salary that they're automatically entitled to overtime pay. This Obama rule will add about 15 million more people who will be guaranteed overtime pay.
Wow. So what do you say to the person who says, well, then, you know, they'll just cut my hours, or they'll just hire more people and it'll cost business? I'm sure there's a lot of screaming out there about what this is going to do to business and being a job killer.
Well, actually, the Retail Federation put out a report, National Retail Federation, the big lobby organization for chain restaurants and supermarkets and department stores and stuff. They put out a report that said the rule will create over 100,000 jobs. And the way it will do that is by forcing them, the employers, to take a manager who they've been working, let's say, 60 hours a week with 20 hours free. They'll now have to pay for those extra 20 hours at time and a half. And instead of doing that, they will save money by shifting all of that extra work to a lower paid hourly worker. And that means more hours. They'll have to hire people. Part-timers will get more work. It's the equivalent of over 100,000 jobs being created. And for the manager who now is working 20 hours a week less for the same pay, it's an absolute win.
Yeah, maybe they get to see their kids.
That's right.
Wow,
think of that.
Who would want that? So, where's the downside in this? Because I heard some squealing. I heard some, you know, because it's Obama doing it. Obviously, it has to be bad. I haven't heard anything bad yet.
Well, I don't think there really is anything bad about this. I think employers have a knee-jerk, the sky is falling attitude toward any improvement in labor standards. This, in fact, however, is really just taking us back partway to where we were in the 70s when the economy in the 50s, 60s, and 70s worked at least as well as it does now. We had, you know, more broadly shared prosperity. Unemployment was lower for the most part.
Taxes were higher.
I just don't see a bad side.
Taxes were much higher. They were killing us with taxes. The economy was stagnant, right?
Tax rates, the top marginal tax rate in 1975 was still 71%, 70%.
And you go back to the good socialist days of Dwight David Eisenhower, and they were up, I think, 92%.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So you look at this, and you look at another one of these policies that I look at, Ross, as another one of those moments that we've redistributed wealth from working people upward, or to corporations, or to investors. This seems to be kind of leveling that playing field a little bit.
Yeah, this will help. The Department of Labor thinks it'll transfer about $1.5 billion a year from employers to employees. I actually think it'll do much more than that. I think it's more likely to be 4 or 5 times better than that.
So how did we? I'm still stuck on how we got to this point. I mean, I understand we had that whole we're not going to enforce regulations and all that stuff. I'm just curious on how you go from 65% of the salaried workforce getting overtime down to just 8%. I'm sorry, I'm struggling with that.
Okay, well, the salary threshold is something that's left to the Department of Labor to determine.
Okay.
The Congress gave it to them. The Secretary of Labor in the Nixon administration and the Ford administration and the Eisenhower administration made the adjustment. When it came to Jimmy Carter, they did it late enough in his term. They made the adjustment up. But when Reagan came in, he withdrew it before it took effect. And then all through the Reagan and Bush administration, there was no change. And so with inflation, the protection of the rule just eroded and eroded, and fewer people were covered. The Clinton administration, sadly, did nothing about this. And then when finally the Bush administration, second Bush administration, came along, they made an adjustment to put it over the poverty level, but then it eroded, and now we're below the poverty level again. They didn't make an adjustment fully back to the kinds of coverage that we had in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Wow. So let me ask you, what are the chances of this becoming the rule of the land? What are the chances of this going forward?
Very, very strong. Congress would have to intervene to stop the Labor Department from doing this. The only way they can do that is to pass a law, and that means the president has to sign it. And the president has already let people know this is on his bucket list. This is one of the important things that he means to do to help the economy before he leaves office. So I don't think there's much chance that this will be blocked.
Good, because I see this as a win-win for all around, and I hate using that win-win frame, but I see this as one of those things that could be good. I mean, you're talking about more taxes because more people are getting more hours, especially the hours that weren't compensated before. You got more money going into Social Security and to Medicare and all of those things. So I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, putting money into the pockets of working people is a good thing for the economy because we have a consumer-driven economy, and they will spend. They'll go out to small businesses and spend more money. This is it just really is, as you say, a win-win.
The website, fixovertime.com. That's where you go.
.org.
Oh, you've got .com here, okay.
Uh-oh.
So fixovertime.org is what we will make sure we have on the Rick Smith Show page. Just click on Ross's name. That will take you to their page. And you can make a comment. We will make sure that it is correct so that folks can make that comment. Ross, I appreciate the time. I appreciate your thoughts on it. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you, Rick.
Let me make sure we get this again. It's fixovertime.org. Just go to thericksmithshow.com and click on the link there. That's under Ross Eisenbray's name. It'll take you right there, and you can make that comment, tell your story. I highly suggest it. Let's take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Rick Smith Show, changing America for the better.